I am Brooke. I am a recovered alcoholic. My home group is the three-leg group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are a virtual group that meets online on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. We study the literature, really, and the history of AA. I have a sponsor. Her name is Dee. She is on this meeting tonight. I have worked all 12 steps. I'm currently living and practicing steps 9, 10, 11, and 12, the eighth tradition, which is like for fun and for free, not for fee and for hire, which is really two really separate things. So the short form, right? The short form of the eighth tradition is Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. And then the long form, which Michelle read already once, but I'm going to read it again because it's important to hear again. So it is Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. We define professionalism as the occupation of counseling alcoholics for fees or higher, but we may employ alcoholics where they are going to perform those services for which we may otherwise have to engage non-alcoholics. Such special services may be well recompensed. I don't know why I have trouble with that word, but our usual AA 12-step work is never to be paid for. So the work that I do one-on-one with my sponsor or with a sponsee is never to be paid for. And maybe I was ignorant, but I never once thought when my sponsor was working on with me so diligently in the beginning, sometimes more than once a week, two, three times a week, I never thought to myself, man, I wonder if she's going to ask me for gas money, or man, I wonder if I'm going to have to buy her a pizza for coming over. Like, that thought never crossed my mind. And it's probably, again, because I was exposed to these traditions really early on. And I'm grateful for that because I get to live it every day now in my real job, which is, like I said, in the field. So this is the illustration that everyone loves to pull from because it's great. This is from the 12 Traditions Illustrated pamphlet, which is a fantastic pamphlet if you do not have it. So you can see the guy with the thought, right? You can see the storm brewing in, the windows open, it's lightning, it's raining. And his wife is like, what's going on? And his thought is, no one could pay me to go out on a night like this. But his thought was, yeah, okay, I'll be right over. And that's what we do. That is our 12-step work. You know, he was not going because he was getting paid. Or maybe he was. God only knows. So in that same pamphlet, the 12 Traditions Illustrated, right? And I'm going to, like I said in the beginning, I'm going to touch a little bit our co-founders, Bill and Bob, were both, what's the right word? Tempted, maybe? To monetize this thing in their own way. Neither one of them did it. And I have the proof of that in this slideshow. But it's tempting for people that don't know better. I can see. And I know from my own experience working in the field, the women and men that I've worked with that were larger than life and so involved in AA. And then they started working in this field, and slowly but surely, I've watched them all, the people that I work closely with, I've watched them all pull away from AA. Totally, you know, because they're being falsely fulfilled. Is the only thing I can imagine, again, from my own experience, because you do get a strange sense of helping, you know, I'm helping in a different way. I don't know if it makes sense. It's hard to describe if you're not in the field. But for better or worse, they've all pulled away from AA and now they're just doing this work, you know? And to each its own. I want to stay an active, participating member of AA because this program saved my life. The program, not the fellowship, the program of AA, the steps, you know. I did a lot of work to make sure that I had a foundation to where I could work in the field. And also I stay really, really close to AA, which is not easy. Again, being in the field, I do a lot of things that most people don't. I avoid all meetings locally in my area because I'm too centrally located to the main clubhouses and meeting houses that all the women that live here go. And I don't want to risk my AA, you know? So I found a community online and I make fantastic meetings online. I could point into what I want online. I love the literature. I love the history. And I could find those meetings online. So I've made it work, you know? Doesn't mean that a slew of other things haven't happened, but they have. But these are little tiny ways that I tweak it so that I'm wearing one hat at a time. You know, I'm at work or I'm in AA. I am not both. And if I am both, I'll explain later. So, anyway, the 12 traditions illustrated, right? So it says in the part about the eighth tradition, it says, this does not mean, of course, that the idea of turning professional has never entered any AA's mind. Duh. In the lean years, Bill W. did think of becoming a lay therapist to earn money through his experience in helping alcoholics. But with a strong nudge from the group conscience, he soon realized that he could never hang out a shingle reading Bill W., AA therapist, $10 an hour. It became clear to the early members that no AA should ever ask or accept payment for carrying this message to somebody else, person to person and face to face. It also says in the pamphlet, in AA, sponsor and sponsored meet as equals, just as Bill and Dr. Bob did. Essentially, the process of sponsorship is this: an alcoholic who has made some progress in the recovery program shares that experience on a continuous individual basis with another alcoholic who's attempting to attain or maintain sobriety through AA. Okay, keep moving on. Okay, so in Alcoholics Anonymous comes of age on page 114 through 117. This is like most notably where it starts. And AA comes of age is a, it's the history. It's how Alcoholics Anonymous came of age through the beginning till, you know, whatever. So it says in AA comes of age on page 114. It says, Alcoholics Anonymous will never have a professional therapeutic class. We have gained some understanding of the ancient words, freely you have received, freely give. For our purpose, we have discovered that at the point of professionalism, money and spirituality do not mix. We do not decree professionalism in other fields, but we accept the sober fact that it does not work for us. Every time we have tried to professionalize our 12 step, the result has been exactly the same. Our single purpose has been defeated. But if we break this down for at least, if I break this down for myself, it says we do not decree professionalism in other fields, but we accept the sober fact that it does not work for us. And I think, you know, I try and imagine myself doing what some of my coworkers have done. And I have to imagine that I'd be miserable. I'd be a dry drunk because I would not have AA anymore. And I would just have this job, which AA afforded me. And it wouldn't, it not only would it not be enough, I would be miserable at this job. And I can't see how I would be effective in my job. And why would they pay me for something like that? Now, I will say I got the job because I'm in AA, so it's interesting that dichotomy. But never once did my manager, say, if you were to leave AA, you can't work here. Now, if I were to drink, I couldn't work here, but that's obvious, I don't think I'd want to. Sadly, my toughest spot, I'll say, in doing this is that my anonymity gets broken often. And again, I think a lot of it is ignorance. But I don't know. I don't know the proper way. I've tried to have conversations with one specific woman who tends to break my anonymity the most, and it's very it's harmless as far as she sees it. She's an older woman, and when she takes phone calls, she loves to be able to say, "Oh, Mimi and Brooke are all in the program. We've all come through here. So we, and this and that." And there's a whole talking point. It's really become like, her, I don't know, her, whatever. It's what she says. And she says it every single time we get a phone call about it. And I've said to her before, just don't say I'm in AA. If you want to say program, that's fine, because I'm saying what I want her to say. It's not what she says. But I've asked her not to before, and the whole, teaching an old horse new tricks kind of thing always comes into play. But it's not even about that. So you can teach people traditions. It's that she's pulled away from AA. So why would she honor tradition? She doesn't, she doesn't, she, all she does now is not drink. She doesn't go to meetings anymore or sponsor or anything like that. So she doesn't care about traditions the way I care about traditions. And then it becomes an even bigger problem when a prospective person comes and I meet them and they're like, "Oh, I've heard, you're in AA." Now, one-on-one, if I want to break my own anonymity, I can, but that's my own. Nobody else is allowed to do that for me. Again, our traditions. But like I said, it's a struggle. Like I've said before, the whole thing, and if I don't know, if I knew then what I know now, would I have done it any different? I don't know. I don't know. I love what I do most days, and I like to be able to see the women that are really doing the work also, because their lives change. It's also hard, So I've had to make unbelievable sacrifice in my own personal life. Moving along. Okay, so in the 12 steps and 12 traditions, on page 168, it says Alcoholics Anonymous will never have a professional class. Oh, I just talked about this. I'm sorry, alcoholics simply will not listen to a paid 12-stepper. Almost from the beginning, we have been positive that face-to-face work with the alcoholic who suffers could be based only on the desire to help and be helped. When an AA talks for money, whether at a meeting or to a single newcomer, it can have a very bad effect on him too. The money motive compromises him and everything he says and does for his prospect. This has always been so obvious that only a very few AAs have ever worked the 12 step for a fee, which sounds crazy to me. But, and then so I put this in here again because I had a talking point about the story in the 12 and 12, oh God, what's his name? Tom, I think his name is the fireman. And there's a story, and it talks about Tom, the fireman, and he's going to the meeting house, and they wanted him to be a janitor for free room and board. And he was like, well, no, you need a janitor, so you'll pay me to be a janitor. And they paid him to be a janitor because this doesn't only speak to, well, I'm going to talk about that part next. So it speaks to any kind of work that we may do in the field and not in the field. Again, which I'm getting ahead of myself. So in Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, this is where it talks about Dr. Bob being like tempted. So it says, though it never came to pass, it was an idea that was to intrigue Dr. Bob for a few years. His practice was still very poor, and he was already giving most of his time to AA work. His house was mortgaged and he was in debt. A salaried position in an alcoholic hospital would have offered him a way out of this financial predicament. And it would have been okay because he had the approval of the group in Akron, which is interesting. And it says, I know we got into it one day about money, LGR, John's wife, said, recalling a conversation in the late 1930s when Dr. Bob was talking about charging for his services to alcoholics. You can't do that, I said. Why not? These people have been conned all over. If you put money into it, it will never work. It's a God-given program, which are big words, a God-given program. And if you put money into it, you're through. Then there was a time somebody wanted to give them a house or something, LG recalled. I couldn't figure it out, so I said no. And it says at the bottom of that story, it says, temptations rarely come only once to be vanished and disappear. Whether the attraction is that of money or alcohol, it is likely to surface again and again over the years. Still, there is no evidence to be found, either on or off the record, that Dr. Bob ever charged 1 cent for his work with alcoholics. Every member interviewed was asked a direct question on this matter, and each replied that there was no charge whatsoever for Dr. Bob's services. Even the physical examination necessary for admittance to some hospitals was provided by another doctor on the staff. Now, that's going to the extremes, but I get it. I get it, because it's so easy to muddle that. It's too easy to muddle that. And, especially if it was done and nobody knew, because then it's just you and God and your conscience, and it's too much. The weight is too much to bear. So rather stay on the extreme side, which is where I try and stay as well. Okay, so in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, in the doctor's opinion, which is on page 4, it says, we feel after many years of experience that we have found nothing which has contributed. This is Dr. Silkworth, William Silkworth, giving his medical estimate about Alcoholics Anonymous. So it says, we feel after many years of experience that we have found nothing which has contributed more to the rehabilitation of these men than the altruistic movement now growing up among them. And altruism is the unselfish regard for or devotion to the welfare of others. And then in there is a solution on page 19. It states, none of us makes a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. We feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. All of us spend much of our spare time in the sort of effort which we are going to describe. A few are fortunate, are fortunate enough to be so situated that they can give nearly all their time to the work. And then vocation versus Avocation is a vocation is the work that you do because you have to. An avocation is what you do for pleasure, not pay. And it's I thought it was funny. It says today we use the word more to refer to as a serious hobby, which AA is absolutely a serious hobby for me. It's the thing that saved my life and made me a better person. Why wouldn't I listen, I wish I could give all my work to this thing, but I can't, you know? So I have to learn to be an AA member first. So yeah. I'm flying through this, but it's okay. Okay, so this is what I was talking about before, with being like, professional people, just people. So we have got AA guidelines for a lot of things, but this in particular was AA guidelines for AA members employed in the alcoholism field. And so it says some AAs refuse to discuss their job with other AA members or at an AA meeting. At the other extreme, there are those who talk easily about both in all settings. As one person put it, from 9 to 5 on my job, I am a paid professional. But after hours, I turn into just another alcoholic trying to improve the quality of my sober life. A recommendation of the 1978 AA General Service Conference dealing with AA groups in treatment facilities concluded it was felt that AAs employed by the facility should not run the AA groups at the facility. So we have paid workers, right, at the General Service office in New York, at AA Grapevine, which is like our little newsletter, or what you call it, that goes out every few months. And we have people that we do pay, right? So when they're at work, they're not AA. So if somebody were to call and say, I need help with 12-step work, the person, Jane, the secretary that answered the phone, is not the one that should be doing the 12-step call. She should hold on, please, let me get somebody for you and get an AA member that's not on the clock. It's not, and it's so hard because we have local intergroup offices, and sometimes they have paid members and sometimes they have volunteers. And I can see how at that level it would be hard. And I saw on a Facebook post, one of the trustees, the past delegate, trustee, whatever he is, and he always talks about thanking the staff, these people that work at the General Service office or at Grapevine, thanking them for their service because we do that. If I came into this meeting, I would say, thanks, Bob, for your service because he's leading the meeting, right? But if they're working, that's not their service work. And so we shouldn't be thanking them. What they're doing is working. They're getting paid for it and they're getting paid well for it. Because again, we are well recompensed as AA that work at General Service or at Grapevine. So this brings to thoughts, I'm in a meeting and somebody hears me say that I need a new floor, and I don't know. I'm just going to say Bob over there does floors. And so he comes up to me and he says, hey, listen, man, I'm going to, because you're an AA and I'm an AA, I'm going to discount this for you. No. I want to pay for my floors. A, because I want a good job done, And B, there's so many things that could go wrong. I'm going to pay for people's services, and I want to pay, or I want to be paid, I want to pay. So it goes either way, It's not just people like myself working in the field trying to navigate this incredibly difficult thing. It's professionals, all professionals. If truth be told, it shouldn't matter enough if I'm an AA to work here. It shouldn't. And I should be able to go about my daily life and not have everybody know. I didn't start out that way, and that's okay. I will start fresh one day somewhere else. And if I want to break my own anonymity, I will. But nobody's ever going to do that for me again, you know, because it's set up a, I don't know. It's just confusing and it's tough. I'll say that. Okay, so the last thing that I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to be finishing earlier, so it is what it is. Is this pamphlet that we have? So the pamphlet that we are highlighting, I guess, or spotlighting for this month is questions and answers on sponsorship. And I thought about it, and it's interesting because these two topics could have a lot to do with each other, really, because people brand new don't know. You know, do I pay them? Do I not pay them? Unless you've been in the rooms before, you don't understand how someone will so freely give their time. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. At least it didn't for me. So it does say in this pamphlet, it says an AA sponsor does not offer professional services such as those provided by counselors, the legal, medical, or social work communities, but may sometimes help the newcomer to access professional help if assistance outside the scope of AA is needed. Again, another one of our traditions. I'm not your doctor. These are outside issues, but, and I don't have an opinion on it at all, but what I can do is help you find some resources in your community that could guide you down the path that you may need, you know? And then it says nearly all members who work with newcomers look upon the AA program in terms of their own experience. They tell the new person that no one speaks for AA and that every member is perfectly free to arrive at an individual understanding of the program. Some sponsors talk about the program in a more spiritual way than others do. But nearly all call attention to the source of strength to be found in a power greater than ourselves. Again, the sponsor points out it is up to the newcomer to determine what that AA phrase means. It expresses an idea that people of many faiths, or of no particular faith can and do accept with complete harmony. Many sponsors discuss the significance of anonymity at a personal level and public level early on. Anonymity at a personal level provides protection for all members from the identification as alcoholics, a safeguard often of special importance to newcomers. At the level of press, radio, and films, and other media technologies, such as the internet, anonymity stresses the equality in the fellowship of all members by putting the brake on those who might otherwise exploit their AA affiliation to achieve recognition, power, or personal gain. The sponsor is quick to point out the benefit of anonymity at this public level. Sponsors may provide examples from their own experiences of maintaining personal anonymity. And, you know, this it's a really, really good pamphlet, and there's a lot in it. But it's important for the person coming in that maybe doesn't know what a sponsor does and doesn't do. This pamphlet explains in detail. There's actually different chapters what a sponsor does, what a sponsor doesn't do, you know?